So then the seventh planet was the Earth. When the little prince arrived on the Earth, he was very much surprised not to see any people. He was beginning to be afraid he had come to the wrong planet, when a coil of gold, the color of moonlight, flashed across the sand.
Good evening, Mr. Snake.
Good evening.
What planet is this on which I have come down?
This is the Earth. This is Africa.
Ah, then there are no people on the Earth.
This is a desert. There are no people in the desert. The Earth is large.
Look at my planet. It is right there above us. Oh, but how very far away it is.
It is beautiful. What has brought you here?
I have been having some trouble with the flower. Where were the men? It is a little lonely in the desert.
It is also lonely among men.
You are a funny animal. You are no thicker than a finger.
But I am more powerful than the finger of a king.
You are not very powerful. You haven't even any feet. You cannot even travel.
I can carry you farther than any ship could take you. Whomever I touch, I send back to the Earth from whence he came. But you are innocent and true, and you come from a star. You move me to pity. You are so weak on this Earth made of granite. I can help you someday. If you grow too homesick for your own planet, I can...
Oh, I understand you very well. But why do you always speak in riddles?
I solve them all.
After that, the little prince climbed a high mountain. The only mountains he had ever known were the three volcanoes which came up to his knees. From a mountain as this one, he said to himself, I shall be able to see the whole planet at one glance and all the people. But he saw nothing, save peaks of rocks that were sharpened like needles.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Be my friends. I am all alone. I am all alone. All alone. All alone. What a queer planet. It is altogether dry and altogether pointed and altogether harsh and forbidding. And the people have no imagination. They repeat what everyone says to them. On my planet, I have a flower. She always was the first to speak.
But it happened that after walking for a long time through sand and rocks and snow, the little prince at last came upon a road, and all roads lead to the abodes of men. Good morning, he said. He was standing before a garden all abloom with roses. Good morning, said the roses. The little prince gazed at them. They all looked like his flower. Who are you? He demanded. We are roses, the roses said. And he was overcome with sadness. His flower had told him that she was the only one of her kind in all the universe, and here were 5,000 of them, all alike in one single garden. Then he went on with his reflections. I thought that I was rich with a flower that was unique in all the world, and all I had was a common rose and 3 volcanoes that came up to my knees, and one of them perhaps extinct forever. That doesn't make me a very great prince. And he lay down in the grass and cried. It was then that the fox appeared.
Good morning.
Hello. Who are you? You are very pretty to look at.
I am a fox.
Come and play with me. I am so unhappy.
I cannot play with you. I am not tamed.
Ah, please excuse me. What does that mean, Tame?
You do not live here. What is it that you are looking for?
I am looking for men, but what does that mean, Tame?
Men. They have guns and they hunt. It is very disturbing. They also raise chickens. These are their only interests. Are you looking for chickens?
No, I am looking for friends. What does that mean, Tame?
It is an act too often neglected. It means to establish ties.
To establish ties?
Just that. To me, you are still nothing more than a little boy who is just like 100,000 other little boys. And I have no need of you. And you, on your part, have no need of me. To you, I am nothing more than a fox, like 100,000 other foxes. But if you tame me, then we shall need each other. To me, you will be unique in all the world. To you, I shall be unique in all the world.
I am beginning to understand. There is a flower. I think that she has tamed me.
It is possible. On the Earth, one sees all sorts of things.
Oh, but this is not on the Earth.
On another planet?
Yes.
Are there hunters on that planet?
No.
Ah, that is interesting. Are there chickens?
No, of course not.
Nothing is perfect. My life is very monotonous. I hunt chickens. Men hunt me. But if you tame me, I shall know the sound of a step that will be different from all others. Other steps send me hurrying back underneath the ground. Yours will call me like music out of my burrow. Please, tame me.
I want to very much, but I haven't much time. I have friends to discover and many things to understand.
One understands the things that one tames. Men have no more time to understand anything. They buy things already made at the shops. But there is no shop anywhere when one can buy friendship. And so men have no friends anymore. If you want a friend, tame me.
What must I do to tame you?
You must be very patient. First, you'll sit down at a little distance from me, like that, in the grass. I shall look at you out of the corner of my eye, and you will say nothing. Words are the source of misunderstandings. But you will sit a little closer to me every day. One must observe the proper rites.
What is a rite?
Those are also actions too often neglected. They are what make one day different from other days. 1 hour from other hours. There is a rite, for example, among my hunters. Every Thursday, they dance with the village girls. So Thursday's a wonderful day for me. I can take a walk as far as the vineyards. But if the hunters danced at just any time, every day would be like every other day, and I should never have any vacation at all.
So the little prince tamed the fox, and when the hour of his departure drew near, "Ah," said the fox, "I shall cry."
"It is your own fault. I never wished you any sort of harm, but you wanted me to tame you."
Yes, that is so.
"But now you are going to cry."
That is so.
"Then it has done you no good at all."
Oh, it has done me good. And I will make you a present of a secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye.
What is essential is invisible to the eye.
Men have forgotten this truth, but you must not forget it. You become responsible forever for what you have tamed.
Good morning, Mr. Switchman.
Good morning.
What do you do here?
I sort out travelers in bundles of 1,000. I send off the trains that carry them. Now to the right, and now to the left.
They are in a great hurry. What are they looking for?
Not even the locomotive engineer knows that.
Are they coming back already?
These are not the same ones. It is an exchange.
Were they not satisfied where they were?
No one is ever satisfied where he is.
Are they pursuing the first travelers?
They're pursuing nothing at all. They are asleep in there. Or if they are not asleep, they're yawning. Only the children are flattening their noses against the window panes.
Only the children know what they are looking for.
Yes. You're lucky.
It was now the 8th day since I had my accident in the desert. Ah, I said to the little prince, these memories of yours are very charming, but I've not yet succeeded in repairing my plane. I have nothing more to drink, and I too should be very happy if I could walk at my leisure towards a spring of fresh water.
Now, my friend the fox...
My dear little man, this is no longer a matter that has anything to do with the fox.
Why not?
Well, because I'm about to die of thirst.
It is a good thing to have a friend. I, for instance, am very glad to have had a fox as a friend. Ah, but I am thirsty too. Let us look for a well.
I made a gesture of weariness. It is absurd to look for a well at random in the immensity of the desert. Nevertheless, we started walking. When we had trudged along for several hours in silence, the darkness fell, and the stars began to come out. Thirst had made me a little feverish, and I looked at them as if I were in a dream.
The desert is beautiful.
And that was true. I've always loved the deserts. One sits down on a desert sand dune, sees nothing, hears nothing. Yet through the silence, something throbs and gleams.
What makes the desert beautiful? Is that somewhere it hides a well?
As the little prince dropped off to sleep, I took him in my arms and set out walking once more. It seemed to me that I was carrying a very fragile treasure. In the moonlight, I looked at his pale forehead, his closed eyes, his locks of hair that trembled in the wind. And I said to myself, what I see here is nothing but a shell. What is most important is invisible. As his lips opened slightly with a suspicion of a half smile, I said to myself again, what moves me so deeply about this little prince who is sleeping here is his loyalty to a flower. The image of a rose that shines through his whole being like the flame of a lamp, even when he is asleep. And I felt him to be even more fragile still. I felt the need of protecting him, as if he himself were a flame that might be extinguished by a little puff of wind. And as I walked on, I found the well. At daybreak. The well that we had come to was not like the wells of the Sahara. The wells of the Sahara are mere holes dug in the sand. This one was like a well in a village, but there was no village here. And I thought, I must be dreaming. It is strange. Everything is ready for use. The pulley, the bucket, the rope.
Do you hear? We have wakened the well, and it is singing.
I hoisted the bucket slowly to the edge of the well and set it there, happy, tired as I was over my achievement. The song of the pulley was still in my ears.
and I could see the sunlight shimmer in the still, trembling water.
I am thirsty for this water. Give me some of it to drink.
I raised the bucket to his lips. He drank. His eyes closed. It was as sweet as some special festival treat. This water was indeed a different thing from ordinary nourishment. Its sweetness was born of the walk under the stars, the song of the pulley, the effort of my arms. It was good for the heart, like a present.
You must keep your promise.
What promise?
You know, a muzzle for my sheep. I am responsible for this flower.
So then I made a pencil sketch of a muzzle. And as I gave it to him, my heart was torn. You have plans I do not know about, I said. But he did not answer me. Instead...
You know, my descent to the earth. Tomorrow will be its anniversary. I came down very near here.
Then it was not by chance that on the morning when I first met you, a week ago, you were strolling along like that, all alone, 1,000 miles from any inhabited region. You were on your way back to the place where you landed? Perhaps it was because of the anniversary.
Yes.
I'm a little frightened.
Now you must work. Return to your engine. I will be waiting for you here. Come back tomorrow evening.
But I was not reassured. I remembered the fox. One runs the risk of weeping a little if one lets himself be tamed. Besides the well, there was the ruin of an old stone wall. When I came back from my work the next evening, I saw from some distance away my little prince sitting on top of this wall with his feet dangling.
Yes. Yes, it is the right day, Mr. Snake. But this is not the place. You will see where my track begins, in the sand. You have nothing to do but wait for me there. I shall be there tonight. You have good poison. You are sure that it will not make me suffer too long.
I stopped in my tracks, my heart torn asunder. But still I do not understand.
Now go away. I want to get down from the wall.
I dropped my eyes to the foot of the wall, and I leapt into the air. There before me, facing the little prince, was one of those yellow snakes that take just 30 seconds to bring your life to an end. Even as I was digging into my pocket to get out my revolver, I made a running step back. But at the noise I made, the snake let himself flow easily across the sand like the dying spray of a fountain, and in no apparent hurry, disappeared with a light, metallic sound among the stones. I reached the wall just in time to catch my little man in my arms. His face was white as snow. What does this mean? I demanded. Why are you talking with snakes? He looked at me very gravely and put his arms round my neck. I felt his heart beating like the heart of a dying bird shot with someone's rifle.
I am glad that you have found what was wrong with your engine. Now you can go back home.
How do you know about that?
I, too, am going back home today. It is much farther. It is much more difficult.
I realized clearly that something extraordinary was happening. I was holding him close in my arms as if he were a little child. And yet it seemed to me that he was rushing headlong towards an abyss from which I could do nothing to restrain him.
I have your sheep, and I have the sheep's box, and I have the muzzle.
I waited a long time. I could see that he was reviving little by little. Dear little prince, you are afraid?
I shall be much more afraid this evening.
Once again, I felt myself frozen by the sense of something irreparable. Little man, I want to hear you laugh again.
Tonight, it will be a year. My star can be found right above the place where I came to the earth a year ago.
Tell me that it is only a bad dream. This affair of the snake and the meeting place and the star.
The thing that is important is the thing that is not
seen. Yes, I
know. It is just as it is with the flower. If you love a flower that lives on a star, it is sweet to look at the sky at night. All the stars are abloom with flowers.
Yes, I know.
And at night, you will look up at the stars. Where I live, everything is so small that I cannot show you where my star is to be found. It is better like that. My star will just be one of stars for you. And so you will love to watch all the stars in the heavens. They will all be your friends. And besides, I am going to make you a present.
Oh, little prince, dear little prince, I love to hear that laughter.
That is my present, just that. It will be as it was when we drank the water.
What are you trying to say?
All men have the stars, but they are not the same things for different people. For some who are travelers, the stars are guides. For others, they are no more than little lights in the sky. For others, who are scholars, they are problems. For my businessmen, they were wealth. But all these stars are silent. You alone, will have the stars as no one else has them.
What are you trying to say?
In one of the stars, I shall be living. And in one of them, I shall be laughing. And so it will be, as if all the stars were laughing when you look at the sky at night. You, only you, will have stars that can laugh. And when your sorrow is comforted, for time soothes all sorrows, you will be content that you have known me. You will always be my friend. You will want to laugh with me. And you will sometimes open your window for that pleasure. And your friends will be properly astonished to see you laughing as you look up at the sky. Then you will say to them, "Yes, the stars always make me laugh." And they will think you are crazy. Tonight, do not come.
I shall not leave you.
I shall look as if I were suffering. I shall look a little as if I were dying. Do not come to see that. It is not worth the trouble.
I shall not leave you.
I tell you, it is also because of the snake. He must not bite you. Snakes are malicious creatures. This one might bite you just for fun.
I shall not leave you.
Is it true that they have no more poison for a second bite?
That night I did not see him set out on his way. He got away from me without making a sound. When I succeeded in catching up with him, he was walking along with a quick and resolute step. He said to me merely,
"Ah, oh, you are there. It was wrong of you to come. You will suffer. I shall look as if I were dead, and that will not be true. You understand, it is too far. I cannot carry this body with me. It is too heavy. But it will be like an old abandoned shell. There is nothing sad about old shells. You know, it will be very nice. I too shall look at the stars. All the stars will be wells with rusty pulley. All the stars will pour out fresh water for me to drink. That will be so amusing. Here it is. Let me go on by myself. You know, my flower. I am responsible for her. And she is so weak. She is so naive. She has four thorns of no use at all to protect herself against all the world. There now. That is all.
There was nothing there but a flash of yellow close to his ankle. He remained motionless for an instant. He did not cry out. He fell as gently as a tree falls. There was not even any sound. And now 6 years have already gone by. I have never yet told this story. The companions who met me on my return were well content to see me alive. I was sad, but I told them, I'm tired. Now my sorrow is comforted a little. That is to say, not entirely. But I know that he did go back to his planet, because I did not find his body at daybreak. And at night, I love to listen to the stars. It is like 500 million little bells. But there is one extraordinary thing. When I drew the muzzle for the little prince, I forgot to add the leather strap to it. He will never have been able to fasten it on his sheep. So now I keep on wondering, what is happening on his planet? Perhaps the sheep has eaten the flower. At one time I say to myself, surely not. The little prince shuts his flower under her glass globe every night, and he watches over his sheep very carefully. Then I am happy. And then there is sweetness in the laughter of all the stars. But at another time, I say to myself, at some moment or other, one is absent-minded, and that is enough. On some one evening, he forgot the glass globe, or the sheep got out without making any noise in the night. And then the little bells are changed to tears. Here, then, is a great mystery. For you, who also love the little prince, and for me, nothing in the universe can be the same if somewhere, we do not know where, a sheep that we never saw has, yes or no, eaten a rose. Look up at the sky. Ask yourselves, is it yes or no? Has the sheep eaten the flower? And you will see how everything changes. And no grown-up will ever understand that this is a matter of so much importance. So if you travel someday to the African desert, and if a little man appears who laughs, who has golden hair, you will know who he is. If this should happen, please comfort me. Send me word that he has come back.